Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday. It is the 9th of August, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have a full deck of characters. Starting off, it is not Friday, but he's here anyway. I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
You know, I'm definitely a character, but it is good to be here.
Okay, that's fair. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
I can't believe you let Andrew out on a Friday.
I mean,
also, I can't believe you've let Andrew and I back together. We got banned.
I mean, there was no ban. It just sort of didn't work out the rest of the time. Like, it wasn't a ban.
Yeah,
I just couldn't find anything where the two of you disagreed strongly enough or agreed strongly enough that it was worth having both of you back on the
show.
That seems fair. Also with me today, not just Team Nightmare, but I also have the man himself, Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. Good to be here. I was trying on like about 50 of the voices that I have as a character, but I came in cold.
Yeah, happens to the best of us. So, all right. First up, we have many things to discuss today. It's going to be a very full show. That's why I had to have three guests today, just to make sure that we were able to cover everything. Now, first, Andrew, I'm going to have you take us through this. Apple announced a number of things on Friday, but the first one we want to point out is something that has to do with the Messages app, and specifically how kids who are using the Messages app will interact with it going forward, right?
Yes. So last week, Apple announced two things that they will be doing with their systems with iOS 15 and all the other OS updates this fall. Mm-hmm. So first, they will be detecting what is known as CSAM, or child sexual abuse material, in iCloud photos. They are also doing some image detection in Messages. These are two different things, but Apple just announced them at the same time.
Right. And neither of these is now. Like, the other thing we want to point out is neither of these is now. They're coming. They're not currently part of anything that's happening. But the first one is that Messages, if you set up an Apple ID for a kid, so like a kid in your house who has the phone or whatever, you can get alerts about stuff that they see on their devices, right?
Yeah, so the Messages one is very specific. If you are a parent and you have your kid set up with an iCloud family account, there will be an option. You actually have to opt into this, so that if your kid receives some kind of sexually explicit photos via Messages, they, on the child side, they will see, it will be automatically blurred, and they will see this pop-up screen that says, here's what's going on, do you want to allow this or not? If not, then they won't see it at all. If they do want to choose to see it, then they can see it, but then also their parents will receive a notification.
That's only on accounts with children under 12.
That was young children. Yes. Which was part of what we saw in the FAQ today.
Children that are older than 12 will still get the blurred image and the warning, but their parents won't be notified.
Right. And if the parents don't have this family account or they didn't opt in, then nothing else will change.
Okay. So that piece is different from the piece that you may have seen a lot of headlines about over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And that is the specific the CSAM the CSAM specific piece is the part that people are, that has generated a lot of discussion, we'll say.
Yes, there's a lot of nuance, I think, a lot of good important points to tell people, I think. So so first of all, Apple started doing this about 2 years ago. That's when I noticed an update to their privacy policy that said, we will scan for this sort of thing on our servers. And a lot of other companies do the same. This isn't new. The difference now is that Apple has released more information about the type of scanning, and also that they're moving it to the device. So, and it only applies to iCloud photos. It's not scanning your entire library. It's just if you try to upload it, if you have iCloud photos turned on, those images will be compared against a database of hashes of known CSAM.
Okay.
And that is the other important part, I think. The NCMEC, I forget what it stands for, but they are an organization that is the only organization in the U.S. at least that is legally able to have a database of hashes of known CSAM. Okay. So there's kind of a threshold that Apple uses. They have more technical information that they've released, but the gist of it is that if it detects a certain number of CSAM material that you're trying to upload to iCloud, they will be detected. Those photo hashes will be detected. They will be sent to Apple for human review. And if it is legit and not some kind of error, then they will forward that to NCMEC. But remember, so this is only known CSAM. If you're a parent who has, you know, an innocent photo of your kids naked in a bathtub, for example, those won't be alerted. Those won't get flagged because they haven't been part of a law enforcement investigation. And if they have been, then you're probably already in prison.
One would hope.
Yeah.
You know, if that's what happened. So I know part of this is gearing up Brian's surveillance allergy, I guess. I'm not sure quite how to characterize it.
Well, it was. I could probably jump in for Brian right there if you'd like.
I would like that. Yes. That's kind of where I was headed was, let's hear it.
I spent the weekend with the running title of my contribution to this particular podcast being Apple has lost its beep mind. And now, having read the fact, when did this fact get released, Andrew?
I first started noticing headlines just today about it. Today or maybe yesterday.
Like now, my part of my running title, at least, is more like Apple had a failure of a messaging failure of epic proportions. After reading the fact, I still have concerns, but they are like a tiny percentage of what they were. In particular, I did have it misunderstood what was happening with messages. I thought that all images were going to be checked with messages, and that's not true. And the other thing is that I really, really, really did not want, say, intimate pictures that I was sharing with a partner to be potentially reviewed by a human at Apple. By the way, images that are flagged in this CSAM scan are checked by a human at Apple. I do not want that job. Oh, my God.
Right.
No. I feel like you would have to
Lord.
Rotate in and out. Like, you only have to do it for a week at a time or whatever.
Or, God, I can't even. I just can't even.
There's been quite a few articles I've seen about talking about the toll that a human, you know, people who review this stuff, human content yes. reviewers subject. I mean, I think I shared one actually about what goes on with the people at WhatsApp. It's not a job any of us would want.
Yeah, and same with Facebook. I read articles about Facebook.
Well, it's the same thing because Facebook owns WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all of that is, I'm definitely a little off my high horse because I erroneously got on my high horse, but I'm going to blame Apple's bad messaging for that. I had this idea in my head, you know, that image from Vegas, like what happens on your phone stays on your phone.
Yeah, I remember that from CES.
I was going to Photoshop that with an asterisk that said, you know, except in these instances, and say, oh, well, now that explains it. I'm glad I didn't do that and post it, because if I'd done it, I would have immediately posted it. And I don't think that a lot of the outrage is is necessarily appropriate. For one thing, images are being compared against these hashes when you upload them to Apple servers, and only when you are uploading images to Apple servers. I think a certain argument could be made that Apple is entitled not to have this illegal content, and this content is illegal. The images that are in the CSAM database are illegal to possess in many countries, if not most countries. Mm-hmm. And
well, that's why the database is hashes, right? It's not the images themselves.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Otherwise, they would be downloading the actual database to your phone. And now we're all criminals.
Right.
And Apple says that it's impossible. I don't have enough technical background to know if this is true, but Apple says that it is impossible to reconstruct the images from those hashes. That would be the point of the hashes in the first place. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have iCloud photos turned on, mm-hmm. this isn't happening anyway.
Right. Uh-huh.
And if you are not a child account on a family sharing plan where the people with parental powers decided to opt into the program, your iMessage content is not being in any way whatsoever moderated or checked against anything either. Mm-hmm. And I would think that there is a significant argument to be made that the mere creation of child accounts on family sharing plans in the first place probably there is a lack of privacy in the first place once that is done. But this keeps all of this literally, yes, and this keeps all of that privacy invasion in the hands of the parents, not in the hands of Apple. Apple says it doesn't get any access to any kind of iMessage content, nor is anything being reported to law enforcement. Images are being blurred. Kids have the option of viewing the images, and if the kids are under 12, their parents would be notified. And that is definitely a lot different than the sort of hysterical reactions that I and others that were feeding into each other over the weekend were engaged in.
Well, much for Charlotte getting a chance to call you out for that, because I know that's part of what she came by for today.
I think Charlotte still gets to call me out because I did have the initial reaction.
Yeah.
And I wasn't alone. I wasn't alone in that initial reaction.
Yeah, so my listening to this has been fascinating. Watching this conversation play out has been fascinating. Because people who pride using Apple devices and the privacy settings on them and like Apple for its stance on privacy had, on various degrees across the spectrum, a bit of a meltdown when we saw this stuff emerging kind of late last week and over the weekend. And I found that fascinating because I don't remember a similar reaction when Apple and Google came together to put to work on COVID-19 exposure logging. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have a debate about what is more serious, COVID-19 or child sexual abuse material, because we're just not, and both things are just awful.
Yeah.
But the idea, and like we've seen suddenly from that initial exposure log and notification in various countries, including the UK, various versions of vaccine passports and health tracking and those kind of things have come in no small part on the back of us accepting that our phone was a big part of tracking COVID-19. Again, a lot of that is on device, but you're still at some point sending it, if you test positive, to a central database. And the different scale of reaction was fascinating to me. And I think, first of all, we know that Apple does, as a company, take privacy very seriously. It is a thing that matters. We've discussed it loads of times. It is a lot more than just a slogan. But we have implicitly or explicitly, lots of people have accepted that their iPhone is now their COVID-19 pass. and governments have said this is how you're going to be be able to do X, Y, Z things. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, it is not the within the spectrum of this show, thank goodness, to debate whether that is right or wrong or any of the offshoot issues on that.
We're here to inform. That's what we're doing.
But
there's a world of difference, Charlotte, between...
But we have implicitly accepted some that Apple is a key part of working with the state on surveillance of an issue. I know from reporting on it in the UK that like part of the problem, Apple tried to work with the UK government on the COVID-19 app here. The first one didn't work because it didn't work with Apple. The second one did because, in fact, some will argue that it's worked too well, but that's a different conversation. And we have accepted that our phones and Apple infrastructure on them is part of combating that. And I don't see why people were sort of nodded that along whilst getting their knickers in a twist about this.
Because there is a world of difference between software being built to communicate with other software and the contents of our phones being scanned. That is the difference.
But in the case of the COVID-19, your health data and record is being, scanned is not quite the word, but logged and registered. And your location and proximity to people is...
No, but that information isn't coming from your phone. Your phone can store that information that's being accessed.
Yes, it's all on device, that's correct.
But your phone is accessed. The phone is not doing the reporting. The phone is getting your passport or your vaccine information and storing it. And then you can choose to store that, to show that to people if you so choose. That is different than the phone, than Apple having software on the phone that is scanning your phone for whether or not you have COVID-19 out of all your all the content that's stored on your phone. So
there's two different things there. There's the vaccine passport bit, which is one thing. And there is the contact tracing exposure log, which is on your phone and is logging via, is using Bluetooth to track the people who are, you are
right, but
and talking to different phones, and it works across Apple and
Google. I would argue, I hear you, but I would argue that there's a difference between software being created to communicate with a central database in this standpoint and software being added to your phone to scan the contents of that phone.
Yeah. Well, in both cases, you're adding software to your phone and can turn it off and on.
Yeah, but it's what they do that matters. It's the difference between scanning the contents of your phone.
Yeah, exactly. And I find it fascinating that one thing really bothers people and one thing doesn't, when presumably the child sexual abuse material thing is not going to affect as many people and as COVID-19 exposure logging. I'm not even saying, I'm offering actually no opinion whether one is good or bad or both are good or bad in terms of what Apple is doing. I'm just pointing out I find the disparate reaction.
I hear you there too. I hear you there too. The problem is what can then be done. And Apple's big messaging failure of epic proportions is a big part of that. And their FAQ tries to address that. The FAQ says, and I've got some... actually have some nitpicks with their explanation, but the fact says that other images or other checks cannot be added into the system that Apple has developed. And that's what Apple says. I'm not.
Well, until Apple adds them, right? I mean, I don't know, but right. If it's Apple's system. Okay.
Apple. Exactly. We sort of broach these thresholds because we think the endpoint is good. Like stopping the spread of child sexual abuse material is good. Stopping the spread of COVID-19 is good. And therefore, we take on these things, and then suddenly, once that we've gone over that threshold, other things are easier to add on.
Right. And Apple's, go ahead, Andrew.
I think they are, in my opinion, still kind of different. Like with contact tracing, people were worried about, you know, their location being collected and sent to these databases. But the worry that I've seen people share online when it comes to the CSAM detection is the slippery slope. Like today they're scanning for child stuff. Tomorrow, maybe they're searching for Tank Man or Winnie the Pooh. Apple does in its FAQ say we will not obey or bow down or whatever to governments and create more of these databases. But I think that just what if scenario is what people are worried about.
Yeah, but I think you could easily and perhaps even more profoundly make that with something that deals with location. And I appreciate I'm looking at this from a very UK perspective, where the debate about our COVID-19 app and contact tracing and so on has been very fraught for all different reasons. And it's been a very big part of the reaction. And for context, contact tracing has become a really big issue here. If you are in the UK contacted by the NHS Test and Trace service, normally by a phone call, you are obliged by law to stay at home for 10 days.
Here in the States, that stuff was opt-in, and it's varied state by state, and it was a big mess.
Exactly.
That's another issue altogether.
Exactly. Whereas on the app that itself, actually an advice to stay at home, the advice we've learned over, if it sends you alert saying you might have been exposed, you need to stay at home for X number of days. That is, as I understand it, not legally enforceable. So there again, there's lots of different kind of variations on the theme here. But I actually think the slippery slope argument that Andrew has articulated works across the board. And I find it fascinating that it is child sexual abuse material, you know, trying to prevent the spread of child sexual abuse material that has triggered this reaction as opposed to other things.
I think it's actually the scanning of your content that triggered this. It is the scanning
as opposed to your location.
Correct. And and as opposed to here in the States having opt-in systems, and also it being software that's communicating with something as opposed to your contents, the contents that are on your phone being scanned. That is what triggered things here. In the US, we definitely have all kinds of issues with privacy and government, and there's a broader political discussion there that can probably happen somewhere else. But here is where the slippery slope argument becomes pretty intense to me. Apple, in its own facts, says governments force Apple to add non-CSAM images to the hash list, and Apple says Apple will refuse any such demands. Now, that's nifty, but Apple has also said and made it abundantly clear that it will comply with local laws.
Yeah.
Right.
So if a government somewhere, be it in the United States, be it in the UK, be it in China, be it whatever, makes a law saying that images of, like, for instance, in China, like images of Tiananmen Square.
Yeah.
Right. China could create a database of, they could even hash it for Apple and say that any of these images being, you know, on a phone somewhere, this is the law of the land. You have to then report it. And Apple has made it abundantly clear that it's going to follow that law. And it is kowtowed to the Chinese in particular again and again and again.
That's true.
So while the fact that Apple released greatly relieves my personal concern, I realized that a lot of my personal concerns were actually unfounded, more specifically, I do not think that it necessarily closes the book on this issue.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to end up having to be more to this. I don't know what that will be. I do think reasonable messaging from the get-go could have gone a long way to to resolve a whole lot of things. I don't know.
Apple should have done this on a Friday. This was
that
this was,
too. Yeah.
This was something that John Keat kind of just to give credit where it's due, he was talking about how like Apple released this on a Friday, hoping that no one would notice. That may or may not be the case, but if Apple had not released it on a Friday, they might have had more people in place to be able to quickly respond with this fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would have helped. So if you have feedback about this, if you have more questions about this, if there's things in this that you that we haven't covered that you want to find out about, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com. I'd like to thank everyone for being here today. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.